The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to Natural Doc Radio. And there's just a little bit of an echo. And so that made me laugh. So
I think the engineer has corrected the problem.
Fabulous. I love that. We have an engineer that is on top. Okay. So good morning and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. And as you heard, I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And as promised yesterday, we talked about, the importance of diet and weight loss and fasting and all of that information. And now we're just doing a 180 and we're going to vaccines today.
If you didn't have a chance to listen to yesterday's program, and we were talking about strategies to help you lose weight. I think the easiest one to implement is to drink 2 8-ounce glasses of water before a meal.
I agree with
that's
that.
That's an easy one. And you need to hydrate yourself anyway, so you help two problems.
Yeah, McCullough.com has a fabulous, fabulous article on dehydration and the symptoms of dehydration and how many other symptoms are related to dehydration. And I'm sure, Dr. Slavin, you see plenty of people who have moved away from being certain to drink enough over the course of the day.
Especially water. I try to, first thing, if you want to lose weight, try and curtail your beverages to water, first thing. Or if you're going to have coffee or tea, try and keep the sugar content down to a minimum. I tell people, if you put in 2 teaspoons of sugar, it's only 32 calories. That shouldn't be a diet breaker.
However, you know, changing blood sugar chemistry, if you do 2 teaspoons of sugar multiple times over the course of the day. So one of the things is very gradually put a little bit less. It's just what your mouth becomes accustomed to.
Oh, so we spoke about a lot of ideas you can implement to help you manage your weight better. And we archive all the programs on naturaldocradio.com. So if you go to that website and you go to Monday's show, right? That would have been September 21st.
Right.
You can listen to the program again. And we have a special guest on our radio coming up on Friday.
Right. We'll be talking to Dr. Sherry Rogers. She is an MD, retired, no longer in practice. She is available for certain consults. But one of the things that she does is she teaches MDs who are still practicing everything she knows. And one of the things we'll be talking about with Sherry Rogers, she has 2 books that we'll discuss with her. One is Detoxify or Die, and that's kind of an older book, but still the information is as valid now as it was when she wrote it. And then the other one that I'm real interested in talking to Dr. Rogers about is your cardiologist killing you?
Now, this Friday show, which book are we going to talk about?
Should we toss a coin?
We don't have an agenda yet, so stay tuned. And we'll see what we're going to talk about. Because we're going to have her back on the second show.
A week later? A week later.
Okay, so talking about the other book. But I have to tell you, she has a great newsletter. And And of course, her books. Her books are available on Amazon. So if you just search Sherry Rogers, you'll find all her books. It's the kind of information you're not going to get from your physician. It's the kind of information you might hear us talk about, but and it's really important. I think she's one of the people I've read her books, and makes perfect sense. Just like when I started doing chelation therapy in the office before I did that, because doctors don't hear about this stuff in medical school or even in training. And I read a book written by Dr. Elmer Cranton, MD, Harvard-trained doctor, and his book made perfect sense. And then when you implement these strategies and they work, that reinforces what they're saying. And that's why people have to read for themselves. And when they find out how they've been misled in many ways by the medical establishment, you start to think about everything you're being told and not automatically believe everything. You have to now check it out. And that goes for today's topic about vaccines. Now, coming out of, we all grew up getting vaccines. I'm just trying to think when they were introduced. In the 1950s, well, actually before that, the first vaccine was smallpox. Now, I don't think I got a smallpox vaccine. I'm not sure. I don't think so. Okay. That's the one that leaves a scar.
Okay.
But I know my parents did.
The one that leaves a scar, and they usually would do it on your upper arm, because I do remember getting that, and I thought that was TB, but it could be smallpox. I don't know what that was, but it would be a round little mark on your upper arm.
Well, no, the smallpox vaccine, the inoculation was in your lateral shoulder, your deltoid. The PPD test, the test for TB, because we're not vaccinating for TB, the purified protein derivative is called PPD. They would like four little pinpricks, and they would measure the size of the reaction, and that would tell you whether you've been exposed to TB or not.
Interesting. I had no idea. Oh, the things you learn on Natural Doc Radio.
The smallpox vaccine was the first one. And I think by the time it was my turn to get vaccinated, they weren't doing that routinely anymore. But I got the polio.
That's the first one that I remember getting.
And I got the Salk vaccine. And years later, with the booster, I got the Sabin vaccine. The difference
was... Were they compatible?
The Salk vaccine was a dead virus, and the Sabin vaccine was a live virus. They no longer do the Sabin vaccine because they found that all the cases of polio were coming from the vaccine. You know, you were spreading the live virus around.
Very frequently, people may be shedding a virus, like they're talking about the man with the measles vaccine, and he was shedding the virus and infecting people for years and years and years.
But the point I'm trying to make is everybody grew up thinking that the vaccines are fine, they're important, they're necessary, they're effective, they're safe. And it wasn't until I started attending the meetings of the of ACAM, the American College for the Advancement of Medicine, that I started to hear lectures about vaccines and that they don't work. And then I started buying books. By the way, there are a lot of books out there about vaccines, and they give you the history. And I want to give you a little bit of the history about the vaccines. I think one of the latest books out there was written by, let's see if I can find her name. Name of the book is Dissolving Illusions, Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History, written by Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. In her later career as a physician, she really went into looking at the whole history of vaccines. And what was interesting is that, you know, what we've been told about the smallpox vaccine was milkmaids, that's how they called it, you know, women that would milk milk cows.
Right.
What would you call a man?
Gentleman.
Milkman. You hear what some of the colleges are saying, can't use the word man anymore anyway. So I guess you call them milk people.
Okay.
Anyway, so the women would be milking cows. They'd be exposed to the cowpox virus. and that offered them immunity against smallpox. And that's how the idea came about to create a virus against smallpox. Unfortunately, the history doesn't back that up, that in reality there were many milkmaids that were exposed to the cowpox virus that got sick with smallpox. They left that half of the story out. And they went ahead and, with the inoculation of people. But they also found that...
Dr. Slavin, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Would those, pardon me, milkmaids, all have had, all been fatalities? Or would some of them have survived having been infected with smallpox?
Not everybody dies.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The same thing with polio. We're going to talk about that next. Not everybody died from polio.
Right.
And here's the other interesting point. They just manipulate history so much. When the smallpox vaccine was developed, and this was probably in the late 1800s, there was no way to accurately diagnose the type of pox disease a person had. You might have had chicken pox, monkey pox, or smallpox back then, but any kind of pox disease was considered smallpox, even though the vaccine didn't actually have the human smallpox virus in it. So what does that mean? That means that there was an overdiagnosis of smallpox to begin with, because they were including every disease, chicken pox, monkey pox.
That never happens now, does it, Dr. Slavin? Overdiagnoses.
Well, but Dr. Humphreys points out in her book, there was a town in England, Leicester, and they were noticing that, and by the way, they had the highest vaccination rates in the vaccinated world with regard to smallpox. And the people in the town had a rally. The mayor and some of the health officials were there. They all agreed that they were going to stop vaccinating. So what, the prediction would have been, well, you're going to stop vaccinating. This is going to lead to an outbreak of smallpox and a lot of deaths. Well, what they showed, and they have graphs to show this in the book, that the incidence of disease and the number of deaths actually went down. So here's an example that vaccines were not what they were made, is not what made the disease go away. What made the disease go away was isolation. In other words, you take the person with the disease and you isolate them so they can't spread it to other people, and sanitation. I mean, isn't that sort of what they tried with Ebola, too? Right?
That's right. That's what I grew up with. I had all of the childhood diseases, and you had very specific requirements for when you needed to be kept at home. Father was the secretary of the Board of Health where we lived, and so they were very, very well informed about how you needed to handle any of the infectious diseases, how they had to be reported. I hear that music, and that means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. We have lots more information to bring to you.
The blood test required by your doctor does not have to be an ordeal. Learn about the special treatment available for you at AMT Centers. Innovative approaches to evaluating health issues through advanced lab testing. Tests that identify imbalances and point out solutions. And personalized guidance to address out-of-range results. Call 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com, 754-216-2332. Or go to amtcenters.com.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about vaccines, the history. Dr. Slavin?
And here's something I wasn't aware of. We measure antibodies, and the thinking is, if you have antibodies, because isn't this what they tell you? You get vaccinated, you develop antibodies, and that's how you know if you're going to be protected against exposure to a disease.
That's what they tell you. However,
well, there are the vaccine-induced immunity is what stimulates the humoral immune system. But we have another immune system in our body, the cellular immune system. It's the cellular immune system that needs to be functioning at a high level to protect you against disease, not the humoral immune system. That one tells you past exposure, but it really doesn't tell you how you're going to do when exposed to a new illness. And we don't have a way to measure it. We really don't know what's going on there. And how do we know that this is true? Because they've seen people with high antibody levels coming down with various illnesses that they've been vaccinated against. So that's that's another point. And then you have to ask the question also, how is it that this misinformation gets disseminated the way it does? Who's behind it? And when you think about it, you see a lot of things in common. What's happening back then, what's happening today in a lot of different areas. And that's why you have to question everything. I have to tell you, I never questioned any of this stuff before.
And now
You start questioning it?
Probably about 25, 30 years ago. So probably about the same time.
I started, as a physician, you do what you've been trained to do, and you see it really doesn't work. You know, they tell you, oh, this drug is going to do great things for the person. You give it to the person. It really doesn't work as advertised, and you wonder what's going on. Then you see a trend. You see, oh, that drug lost its patent, so it's not a good drug anymore because they came out with a new drug that's so much better because it's patented and they're making more money with it. And that seems to trend over and over again. The old drug is no good because it's off patent. The new drug is the latest and greatest, but it's not necessarily true. We see that today, for example, with the statin drugs. They're coming out with this injection, and now the statin drugs are no good. The new shot is much better.
Much, much better.
You know, because this is all this is marketing. It gets old after a while because you catch on to their
Us a while to catch on. And the thing is, I'm thinking about when I started to catch on to the medical community. And it was when my younger daughter was very, very ill. So I saw that they didn't really know what they were doing with the babies. And it made me very, very suspicious, and it took me about 5 years to walk away.
Now there's a lot of pushing going on around vaccines in both directions. The government mandating, at least in California right now, that everybody be vaccinated. Before you can get into school, for example, and yet the parents are pushing back and saying, I don't want my kid vaccinated. So where is that movement coming from? And I think it stems from the fact that so many parents have observed that after their child was vaccinated, they changed.
Right. However, the number of reports to the adverse event from vaccines is very, very much lower than the actual number of adverse events being reported to pediatricians. The pediatricians make a decision it must not have been the vaccine and don't forward the report onward.
Well, it's not surprising because when you read the list of side effects associated with vaccines, they basically only talk about the injection site getting red and tender.
Right, right.
Things that happen within maybe a week or two of the vaccine.
They'll say a slight fever.
Right. But what about things that might happen, months or years down the line from the vaccine? Well, they don't say it because it hasn't been studied. Nobody's really looked at it, and yet we're seeing all these changes in society. And, of course, we can blame a lot of things. You can blame the increased intake of sugar. You can blame the vaccines, too. There's no proof one way or the other, and I think that needs to be studied better. Now, here's something. Now, we see reported now, again, the term microbiome, talking about your gastrointestinal bacteria and how important that is for good health. Your digestive tract is actually the biggest immune organ in your body, and you got to keep it healthy. Now, do vaccines have an effect on your gastrointestinal health?
No question in my mind. And it might not necessarily be the infectious agent. It's all of the other, potentially, all of the other ingredients that are included in the vaccines. And we willingly allow the pediatricians to inject our tiny little infants with unknown substances. How is it that we have been so brainwashed that we sit back and allow that to happen? It's absolutely horrifying.
Well, it goes back to smallpox again. So despite the real evidence that the vaccine really didn't make a difference, in fact, in that town in England who had the highest vaccination rates, when they stopped the vaccinations, the incidence of smallpox actually went down.
Right.
But they changed how they reported it, and they said the smallpox vaccine is great. Well, what was the other big epidemic of the time after smallpox? It was polio. We got to make a vaccine against polio. And then, of course, it was reported that the polio vaccine made a tremendous difference. But the way it made a difference is they changed the definition of polio. That was one of the ways. Before the vaccine was introduced, every type of paralysis was attributed to the polio virus, pretty much. You may have had other types of paralysis. And by the way, not everybody who developed polio remained paralyzed for life. You know, a lot of times it was temporary, and you got over it. Not everybody with polio died.
It's very interesting, though, because I've spoken to a post-polio support group a number of times, and even though paralysis was not a lasting effect, there were lifelong health challenges faced by people who had severe cases of polio. There were very mild cases. Mm-hmm. And what would you say made the difference between the severity of the polio that individuals experienced? It was how their immune systems functioned.
Were able to fight it off. I'll give you an example. My uncle had polio. My father didn't, and they slept in the same bed. You know, back then, you know, and I think there were, I don't know, five kids in the family. You know, they didn't have a bunch of bedrooms.
Right.
And one got it, one didn't. So go figure.
There is a vaccine that is given to the infants at birth. It is the hepatitis B vaccine. So if you give birth in a hospital, your infant is going to be injected with the hepatitis B vaccine, manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline. And what does it have in it? Aluminum hydroxide and thimerosal. So how many times have parents been told that mercury has been removed from the infant's vaccines? That is not true.
Okay, so back to polio, because of the so-called success of the smallpox. I think the real success of the smallpox, because it was a great moneymaker for the drug companies. That was the success of the first vaccine. Well, let's duplicate that with polio. Well, we have to show that the vaccine makes a difference. Well, the studies show, when you look back at the years of the big polio epidemics, you can see that the incidence of polio was very much on the decline before the introduction of the polio vaccine, number one.
It's very interesting when you study about how viruses infect a population. It's a bell curve. It starts at a very low level, reaches a certain point, and beyond that point, then the available population to spread the virus declines and the infection starts to decline. Talking about polio, Connaught Laboratories makes a polio vaccine that's three types of polio viruses. And what's in that Connaught Laboratories mix for polio inoculations? Neomycin, streptomycin. That's, okay, so we can handle that. But then there's formaldehyde, and then a continuous line of monkey kidney cells. Are you really happy about putting that combination into your child's body? Not me.
Right. Well, I think that's a problem. And I'm not sure. Oh, I do have an idea why they put some of those ingredients in, and this is what they found. They want to weaken the virus so it's not as virulent and maybe just causes, if at worst case, a mild disease. What they found out is that the virus can actually get back to its usual virulent self despite all these ingredients they put in there.
Aren't those viruses smart little critters?
But I was saying, because of better sanitation, better nutrition, the incidence of polio was well on the decline before the introduction of the vaccine. When they introduced the vaccine, they changed the definition of polio. As I mentioned earlier, if you had paralysis lasting for a day or two, you were diagnosed with polio. The definition change was now that paralysis has to last 30 days.
Whoa.
So if after 30 days you were no longer paralyzed, you didn't have polio. So that lowered the incidence right then and there. Don't we see them doing stuff like that now?
I think they do.
On lab numbers, changing a lab number. So before there was only a certain number of people with cholesterol problems and you markedly increased the number.
One way to sell things. I hear music. That means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about vaccines. And boy, have we got information for you. Stay tuned.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care. Reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world, that allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness.
You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
And welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Today we are talking about vaccines. Now, there are a lot of different ways that people can go. They can choose to have single dose vaccines, which will not have certain preservatives in them, such as thimerosal and aluminum. Polysorbate 80, formaldehyde, those are some examples of other preservatives that are in vaccines. You can choose your own schedule. It's very interesting because the way that the CDC says that you should be vaccinating your children, there would be 49 doses of 14 different vaccines by the age of six. So here we have a developing immune system, immediate insult right at birth when the hepatitis vaccine is given to babies born in hospitals. And by the age of six, 49 doses. So you think about all of those injection sites over a tiny little body. And then it would be 69 doses of 16 different vaccines by age 18. And this is the recommendation of the CDC. Do you think we should follow that recommendation?
Well, I'm actually surprised that the human race hasn't become extinct.
Isn't it astonishing that we have survived? Okay, maybe it's because there are some people who aren't doing those terrible vaccines to their children.
Yeah, my kids are all grown up, so I don't know. What is a vaccine? What do they charge for a vaccine these days?
I have no idea.
You know, even if it were $10, right? And I know it's more than that because I have dogs that get vaccinated, and it's more than $10.
And that's a whole
lot. How many different vaccines do they get? You said in the 40s, right?
Well, 49 doses by age six, 14 different vaccines.
Okay, before, so say 50 doses, $10 a dose, and I know it's more than that. That's $500 a person, and multiply that by, you know, all the people in the country, and you understand. Now it begins to make sense why promoting vaccines is so important. Again, you know, it goes off the screen on the calculator when you multiply $500 by 300 million. Now, isn't it interesting that you have such a push from the public because they don't want their kids vaccinated, and yet you have pushback from the government mandating that the kids get vaccinated? Why aren't the elected officials listening to what the people want? Are the vaccines really preventing infections? I mentioned earlier you have humoral immunity and cellular immunity. It's the cellular immunity that has to be functioning at a high level to protect you. It's the humoral immunity that they're measuring, which shows past exposure. But as the recent outbreak of measles showed, 80% of the people that came down with measles had been vaccinated. So the vaccines aren't conferring any kind of protection. There's another aspect of what's going on that's not being addressed, because their interest is a monetary one and not a health one. Same thing with the flu vaccines every year. How many millions of people get the flu vaccines, and we don't really see a major change in the incidence of flu vaccines between who gets the vaccine, who doesn't, who gets the flu, and who doesn't. In fact, I'm not even sure they keep those statistics. You know, they don't want to know that. You know.
Okay, 75% of the chickenpox cases in a 2001 outbreak had been vaccinated against the chickenpox. And I want to tell people...
if it works or not. At the end of every flu season, they say, you know, the vaccine's about 30% effective. That means 70% of the time, the vaccine didn't work, didn't help.
Or made the people sick. Okay, so who makes the chickenpox vaccine? Our favorite, Merck and Company. What's in the chickenpox vaccine? Varicella live virus, neomycin, phosphate, sucrose, MSG. Oh, what do we know from Dr. Russell Blaylock about MSG? Sets your brain on fire. Might that have an implication in learning disabilities, ADD, autism, Asperger's, the spectrum? Okay, I wasn't finished. It has processed gelatin, fetal bovine serum, guinea pig embryo cells, albumin from human blood, and human diploid cells from aborted fetal tissue. Do you want to give your child the chickenpox vaccine?
Well, think about the list for a second in the context of what we've spoken about before called leaky gut. Leaky gut is a condition where incompletely digested proteins are entering your body because your digestive tract, the barrier, isn't secure enough. So it gets into your body and your body makes antibodies against it. And a lot of times, if those proteins resemble parts of your body, those antibodies then attack yourself, and they call that molecular mimicry. And it sounds like the same thing could possibly be true about vaccines. Now you're bypassing the digestive tract entirely. All these substances are foreign to the body, and therefore they're making antibodies against everything that could possibly cross-react and create problems. And I think when you just start thinking about putting all these foreign substances in your body, you have to vote no.
I vote no, and I want to let everyone know that the information that I'm quoting to you about vaccine ingredients is from a website, and it's called informedchoice.info. And then there's another website that you can go to, which is the National Vaccine Information Center, and that website is the letter N for National, V, Vaccine, InformationCenter.org, NVIC.org, and www.informedchoice.info. Very, very sad state of affairs that our government agencies have seen fit to push with this level of intensity and trample on the individual's rights. It's a very bad situation.
Well, we're planning to have a guest on, I'm not sure when, in the next couple of weeks or so, once we can figure out the timing on it, and that's Dr. Len Horowitz. And I remember having him on the program years ago, and we talked about a topic, I think, that he mentions in many of his books that he's written about population control. So if the approach to many things in the world is about population control, does vaccination go against that concept, or does it enhance that concept?
Enhanced. And it's very, very interesting because the German companies that Dr. Horowitz talked about that had scientists working on all sorts of vaccines and infectious agents to be used as tools of war. Those scientists actually made it to the United States and became integrated into different research facilities developing vaccines and developing pharmaceuticals. And the only name that I remember of the company is IG Farben, but there were a number of different companies that fall into that category.
And if you want to even Google something and read up a little bit what they're doing with this research, just Google Plum Island, P-L-U-M Island. You're familiar with what goes on there, right?
Okay. Plum Island is off the coast of Connecticut, mm-hmm. and there is animal research going on there, animal research with the focus of developing infectious agents as, again, tools of war. Okay. So
it's very close to Lyme, Connecticut.
And the theory, no right, the theory being that possibly some of the infectious agents escaped the research facility and actually infected different fauna in the Plum Island environment. And those infected either birds or deer animals made it from the island onto shore at Connecticut. Right. So very, very interesting. Let me go here to the Lyme vaccine. There is a vaccine for Lyme disease, and there's a lot of promotion of it because one of the things that was in the media recently was that you didn't necessarily have to be bitten or exposed to a tick to develop Lyme disease, that there was now the potential for human-to-human infection. So they're marketing the Lyme vaccine. The maker of the Lyme vaccine is GlaxoSmithKline. And one of how they're doing it is a protein from the outer surface of the spirochete Borrelia burgdorferi. That is the infectious agent that contributes to the development of Lyme symptoms. In the vaccine is kanamycin, which I would say is an antibiotic, but I'd not ever heard of it before. And then there's aluminum hydroxide, phosphate buffered saline, and 2-phenoxyethanol. Not something I want in my body. I'm sorry. I pass. Here's what I'm going to do. Take garlic on a regular basis, and there are a variety of very, very high quality garlic extracts. Take zinc on a regular basis. That is critically important with over 200 different detoxification pathways to get infectious agents, substances that have the potential to make you sick, out of your body. Fish oil, just to keep down inflammation, probiotics. So let's talk about the importance of supporting your own immune system so that when you're exposed to these infectious substances, your body has, with its multiple types of immunity, the ability to fight it off.
And just one last thing before we go to a break. A few weeks ago, we had someone on who developed Guillain-Barré's from a flu vaccine. You take your chances, but the point is the flu is not deadly like they tell you it is, and it's even less of a concern if you maintain your immune system. We'll talk about a few more things you can do to fortify your immune system. So you have to be concerned like they try to make you, the fear that they create for everybody.
Okay, and we'll tell you how to combat that fear so you can go through your day feeling strong and having a healthy immune function. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com and tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. right here on this station.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we're talking about vaccines today. And stay tuned. You know, stay in touch with us, because on Friday, this coming Friday and a week from Friday, so September 25th and October 2nd, we will have as our guest here on Natural Doc Radio, Dr. Sherry Rogers, and she has two books we'll be talking about. Is Your Cardiologist Killing You? And my guess is she might have a few words to say about different cardiology prescribed pharmaceuticals. And she'll be talking about detoxify or die. Very important information.
I think she also talks about ablation therapy too.
Okay.
Yeah, cardioablation. You know, they use that for atrial fibrillation.
It's such a sad state of affairs because it does not seem to work very well, and it's a pretty costly and relatively traumatic procedure.
It works very well for the doctor.
Yes, that's true.
Right? They get paid a second time to do it over, right? They get paid twice.
And sometimes even more than twice.
Well, that's what I said about even bypass surgery. It's the only operation, if you think about it, you can do more than once. And what I'm saying is, you take out someone's gallbladder, that's it. You take someone's appendix out, that's it. But with the, you know, with cardiac surgery and ablation therapy, you can do it over and over again because as many times it doesn't work.
And so it would be very interesting to see what the definition of successful ablation procedure is, because if it's 2 weeks of stopping tachycardia arrhythmias, then it's a success. But if it's 2 months of stopping an arrhythmia, not so much.
Well, that's why the focus of this program is to give you information so that you can try and prevent these conditions as much as you can. You know, there's a lot of things going on that affect our bodies that we don't know about, that we don't have any control over. And as we find out about these things, we pass it along. For example, you need to try and eat organic food as much as possible. Not just because organic food is better, but what you really have to do these days is avoid the non-organic food, because they are really making that food group dangerous with the pesticide use, the excessive pesticide use, genetically engineered foods. It's not just genetically modified, it's genetically engineered. And the difference is the genetically modified food, the GMOs, those are crops that are resistant to herbicides like Roundup, glyphosate. Genetically engineered foods have the pesticide built into the food.
So you get to consume it.
And they said that, it's going to be degraded in your body and your digestive tract, not to worry. Well, they've studied that, and that doesn't happen. So that pesticide is functioning in your body when you eat the food, and at much higher levels than the ones that are sprayed on the crops, because you can wash a lot of that off, and who knows what effects it's having. And when they tested people for it, they found 80% of the people had residues in their body, and they didn't even know they were getting it. And on top of that, they want to block the consumer from knowing that they're eating this type of food because they don't want it on the label.
That bill is before the Senate right now, so it's in the Senate. So people can contact the senators, Bill Nelson and Marco Rubio, senators from Florida, and let them know that you want to have the ability to identify genetically modified foods and genetically engineered foods on the grocery shelf. So right now, the only way to assure yourself you're not exposing yourself to those contaminants is to buy organic.
Now, it's my understanding that most of Congress is going to vote to block the labeling law. In other words, not allow people to know what's in the food.
Well, the House of Representatives has already passed it. So it's in the Senate.
And
so
why is this happening? Because they're getting paid off by the lobbyists from the manufacturers of these products.
It's a very, very sad situation.
Plus, at the same time, all right, they make donations to the political campaign, and they show them the scientific literature that they created, by the way. And, of course, it shows these ingredients are perfectly safe. It enhances production of the food crops. It's going to make it easier to feed the world and deal with world hunger. And this is the platform that they have to promote the use this approach to farming. But when you read the other opinions about it, and when you look at the scientific studies, you look at the animal studies showing that these pesticides are actually carcinogens. They cause cancer. People are thinking twice about it, and yet the elected officials are still voting to keep the public in the dark about whether or not they're consuming these pesticides.
Okay, I have a couple of things about meningitis. Do we want to talk about the meningitis vaccine?
Yeah.
All right. That vaccine is typically recommended by the pediatrician for children between 11 and 12 years of age. And to have a booster at 16, the vaccine is made by Connaught Laboratories. And in addition to the specific meningitis bacteria, it's a they administer freeze-dried polysaccharide antigens from the meningitis bacteria. What else are you getting in that vaccine? Thimerosal and lactose.
Well, here's something else the public has to know, that this is a vaccine against meningococcal meningitis. This is a bacteria. Most of the meningitis that people get are viral meningitis. This vaccine does you no good. So in a minute or so we have left, what are some of the things, I think most importantly, not the things you can take, and you mentioned some of those earlier, and I'll add on vitamin D to that list, and have your levels measured so you know that you're getting to the levels you need. It's not enough to be in range, 30 to 100. You want to be up around 80. And you don't know where you're going unless you do the measurement, get the blood test to find out.
And they can come here to advanced medical testing centers and have that done.
Right. But more importantly, what are people doing that undermine their immune system that they can correct right away? And I'm going to start off by saying, make sure you get enough sleep. That is major when it comes to your immune system. If you don't get enough sleep, you're weakening your immune system, making yourself more susceptible to different infections.
Drink enough water. Okay, here's one that I think is particularly nasty, and it has to do with a variation on the whooping cough vaccine, and they're suggesting that a pregnant woman have this injection in her third trimester because it will potentially protect her unborn child from the whooping cough. Now, we understand that infants up until I think it's 4 or 6 months, I'm not sure, cannot be given a whooping cough, the DPT vaccine. And so the first 6 months of life, they are vulnerable to whooping cough. And so here, you want to protect...
Who said that? Because they have their mother's immunity.
Hello.
For the first 6 months, at least.
We
call that passive immunity you get from the mother. That's why giving an infant under 6 months of age vaccines doesn't make sense, because they're operating with their mother's immune system.
Okay, and the profile goes like this. Hepatitis at birth up to 2 months, a second shot between 6 and 18 months, the flu vaccine, two doses between 6 months and 12 years, measles, mumps, rubella, 1 to 2 months. That's when they're suggesting giving it. The DTaP. They call it pertussis. 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 6 to 15 months. Polio, 2 months, 4 months, and 6 to 18 months. It's heartbreaking.
Well, we only have a minute left,
Janet.
The
ingredients.
So what can parents do if they don't want to subject their kids to all these vaccines? What are their options?
Find a pediatrician who will work with you. Come see me. I'm available at Toonies Fort Lauderdale, Toonies in Coral Springs, Toonies in PGA, and I can give you the names of different pediatricians who will guide you through this maze.
And I guess you could look online about religious exemptions and how you go about that.
Right. Many of the states have revoked the religious exemptions, but there are still states, Florida, you can get an exemption.
Well, homeschooling, I think, is an option.
Homeschooling is an option. And that music means we're out of time. Thanks for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio, and I will be back tomorrow between 10 and 11. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy.